FM Morning Show, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. I'm always torn on games like yesterday for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's like there's some good, there's some bad. They lost the game. It was long. I feel like Dan Shulman is going to get an extra vacation day or something worked in here because like there's been a bunch of long Blue Jays games lately. Like they had one the other day that I think it was like 36 hours. Like, I don't know how long it was, but it was outrageous. And last night was the same thing. And I want, like, listen, this man's no dummy, okay? I'm guessing that our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom, visit donvalleynorthlexus.com. Like, he's a math genius in a weird way. You like to show that off from time to time. You know, you're not braggadocious. You're not, you know, you're not boisterous. You're not always rubbing it in people's faces that you're a sports guy who can also do math, because normally that is the thing that sports guys who can do math do. But yeah, with all these long ball games, like how does that work for you? What's your end?
What's my end game here?
No, what's your end in terms of like what do you get? Because people always go like, oh, free baseball, right? That's the joke. Free baseball. It's like, not for Dan Shulman. It's not.
No,
you know, like, it's
no.
Like exactly.
Yeah.
It's not free.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little tired right now. I'm not going to lie to you at all. I think of the three of us, I'm probably the only one who was awake at the end of the game last night, is my guess. But you guys had to get up earlier than I did.
Not true. I watched
it. Not true?
Damn.
One eye open, I'll tell you that.
Not true.
Wow.
It's a tough
and
life,
what time
Dan.
Do you guys have to wake up in the morning?
Too early.
Yeah. I don't want to say it publicly because it will make people sick. It's I don't like saying
in
it out loud.
In the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
I told someone yesterday.
Okay, but we
like
nap all day, so
a good night's sleep. If I'm like, wow, I got 5 hours, I'm really stoked on that.
Wow.
Like
yeah.
I'm really stoked on 5 hours.
I did 6 months of a morning show 1,000 years ago and it wrecked me. I applaud you guys for me being able to do it. And if you are afternoon nappers, if you can lie down for 2 hours from like 1 to 3 and then go on with your day, that's a great gift.
Yeah. I'm super excited that by the time we got this show, that sleep science caught up and was like, actually, naps are bad for you, and sleeping a long time is like the most important thing you can do. It's like worse than smoking cigarettes. So I'm like, so I quit cigarettes for nothing, you know? Like basically, by quitting cigarettes, I traded it for nothing. Anyway, I've only accepted that the damage that this is going to do. It is what it is, but I love sports and I like watching games, and you guys still call a great one. So, all right, I got a few things that I want to get into with you. Number one, that Gausman start was a little strange to me. Like, he gets 6 innings. I'm not trying to over-knit or pick at the nits here. Like, he got through 6 innings, and he gets 7 strikeouts. They desperately needed some length from him. I thought that he battled that sometimes. But there were moments where, hey, he got out of jams with, like, that Abreu fly to dead center. I went, oh, my God, that's 5 feet from being all of a sudden disastrous. They made some good defensive plays that bailed him out, some brain farts from Chicago in that one. Was yesterday enough for you to kind of relax a little bit of the feeling around Gausman? Like, where are you at just in terms of the I call it the panic / relaxometer with Gausman, because I feel like people are on completely different ends of the spectrum with him right now.
You know what's funny? I've never seen a pitcher with the Blue Jays that I can remember where every and scrutinized is not even the right word, where it's broken down as much as he is. We're part of it. Like, we did it in the second inning last night, because Chris Black, you probably saw, had this great thread on Twitter yesterday about the shift, and then boom. And I'm not saying they changed because of Chris Black. I have no idea why they changed. I didn't ask anybody. Nobody told me. They didn't shift.
If we were making our changes based on Chris Black's opinion, the world would not be in a great place. I don't like the idea of this.
Fair,
so yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Point right there. That yeah, that's your liner for the morning. So it's amazing how everything is broken down, and I think it's because he's a very unique pitcher because of the splitter, right? That's such a big pitch for him, and it's such a weapon. And in April, like, he was wiping people out with it. They couldn't stop chasing. They could not find a way to stop swinging at the splitter. And now he's really, really had to modify his game plan. Now, a couple of things about the White Sox. One, they saw him 3 weeks ago, so we have to remember that. Two, the hottest offensive team in baseball coming into last night, so we have to remember that. So, yeah, I think he battled. He didn't overwhelm them, but they didn't overwhelm him. And at the end of the night, 6 innings, 2 runs against that team when they needed length, he had a heck of a start. Again, he wasn't dominant, but I think he pitched well, and he changed his game plan. He threw, I think, his lowest percentage of splitters that he's thrown all year, and maybe his highest percentage of sliders. When I wake up in a couple of hours, I'm going to look into that, but I'm not going to do it right now. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not panicking about him. I think he's too experienced and too smart, and he's really a really interesting guy to talk to. I think he's got too good of an understanding of his arsenal and how teams are trying to combat him and how he's got to combat that. So I think he'll be fine. We're going to see April Gausman again. I don't know, but I think he's going to be fine. I don't think we're going to see, you know, 2 1/3 like we saw against Baltimore very much.
Right. Okay. So I think, and I'm glad that I got to talk to you about this because, you know, when I say panic-o-meter or, the relaxometer is because I feel like, yeah, I have heard some hot takes from friends where the worry is through the roof right now, right? Because listen, like Berríos has had some starts that have been, when they're bad, they're really bad, right? And then he leveled out for about a good month there. We were pitching well, but the Ryu contract has not worked out well for them. There's just like, I don't want to invoke Tanner Roark's name. I think that was a different thing altogether, but people are looking at this going, a couple things have happened. One is that it's big money. Two is that he started so well, like you mentioned, where like when I went to my first Gausman game and I just watched him spin that 11 strikeout game. I think it was 11 strikeouts. Maybe it was 10. I remember sitting there going, oh my God, this is how it felt watching Roy Halladay, where like this is a real ace where the other team is just guessing and they have no hope. They're up there. They're just hopeless. And now hitters look like they have a plan against him. And so like first impressions matter. And then there's been this recalibration. The other part of Gausman that's kind of interesting is everyone had this debate about Robbie Ray all season last year about whether you could pay him or not because he had two pitches. And you went, well, what happens if one of the pitches doesn't really work out? And I think that when Gausman has struggled, we've seen a little bit of that, which is like, it almost puts us back into the loop of the thing that we were preparing for with the other guy, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. And they're different pitchers. I think the concern about Ray, you make a very good point about the two-pitch thing, because they both, although, again, Gausman threw like 29, no joke, maybe you can Google it while we're looking, 20 or 29 sliders last night. Like, there are some games where he's throw, you know, four. But I think he threw 28 or 29. He only throws it to righties, and they put 9 right-handed batters in against him. So maybe that's part of it. I think part of the concern about Robbie Ray was, okay, it's 96 right now, but what happens in 3 years when it's 93? And that Gausman can live with reduced velocity into his mid-30s better than Ray can live with reduced velocity into his mid-30s. And we'll find out. Time will tell. The funny thing about Gausman is he hit 98 last night. And a bunch of 97s and, you know, a whole bunch of 96s. Like, his fastball, he throws harder than Robbie Ray. He doesn't really look the part, and he's not grunting and all that stuff, but he actually throws harder than Robbie Ray. I think he's got more weapons, both for the short term and the long term, than Robbie Ray. But he do tend to hit his fastball. If they're looking for his fastball, they do tend to hit his fastball, not out of the park. But he will give up some hard contact. And I'm even at the game that you were at, I don't remember which one it was that you said, but, you know, he could, even those early starts where he went 7 or 8 innings, it wasn't like one hit baseball. He was giving up some hits, but then he would get the strikeout when he needed to get it by burying somebody with the splitter. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's very smart and he understands that he's in a period right now where he's got to continue to evolve. And I think he's going to be able to do that. And I think he's going to be a good starting pitcher for this team.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just remember that it was the Houston game in like early May. And that was part of it too, is it was just like, and it wasn't quite the full Houston team, but they still got completely bamboozled by him. Like, he had them guessing the entire time, and that was just the way I felt about it, was like these two pitches. And so it's like, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not trying to relitigate, I guess, Robbie Ray versus Gausman, because I just think that I trust the Blue Jays' decision in this one. Ray hasn't had the best start to the season, although he was good in his last outing. And yeah, I think that all the points you hit on with Gausman are correct. I just wonder about, like, when it's like, okay, now he's using the slider more and using the splitter less. It's like, I don't know if that's a good sign for a guy that, that's the tough one.
Start where he does different things against different teams. And they lined up 9 righties against him last night. And they did that on purpose, I think. Now, the White Sox are like the Blue Jays, where they're a heavily right-handed team, and they're always going to have at least 6 or 7 righties in the lineup. But he'll use the slider to righties, doesn't use it to lefties. So, you know, I think part of that is they were all righties. Part of that is they had just seen him. And part of that is maybe he didn't have the feel in the splitter, or they weren't swinging enough of the splitter. Although, if you look at the numbers, I remember looking at it late in the game, he had thrown like 23. They had swung at 15 and swung and missed at 8 or something like that. That's pretty good. You know, he got 19 swings and misses. That's pretty good. That's a good number. Again, I thought he did fine, but he's not going to just, you know, walk out of the mound and have the starts that he had in April, I don't think. Yeah. You know, some teams in the American League are getting used to him. He's been with, and, you know, he started with Baltimore, but he was with San Francisco last year. He's been with Atlanta, been with Cincinnati. It's been a while since he's been in the American League. And maybe first time around the league, there was no familiarity with him or very little familiarity with him from some of the guys getting in the box. Now word gets out, everybody's got video, everybody's got fancy computers, and they know what they're looking for. So it's up to him to continue to evolve. And not only has he made the changes sometimes by throwing more sliders, he's now throwing the fastball down in addition to the fastball up, which I think is something that is going to help him, but it's not what he's naturally comfortable doing. He's getting used to it as well. But, you know, it's not like, I mean, pick a pitcher. How many pitchers are the same now as they were 5 years ago? They all have to evolve. They all have to update their arsenal and recalibrate from time to time. And again, he's got 10 years in the big leagues. He's a smart guy. I think he'll do a good job of it.
I think so, too. I think it is just, again, the major part is that recalibration of how brilliant he was to start the season, where he literally didn't walk anyone, and he went, oh, he'll just strike everybody out in a big spot. He'll never walk any human being on the planet. Everybody's going to guess this is the best pitch in baseball. And I also, the one factor I didn't even mention, too, is that he suffers from the, oh, Alek Manoah's here, and it was the 1-2, and it's like, oh, well, maybe, as crazy as this sounds, that guys like Berríos and Gausman, who are signing, you know, for $100+ million are not on the level of the big guy. So last one, let you go, and then you can have your nap, okay? You can have your sleep. You can sleep all day. You deserve it. You deserve the rest. I'm sure this is
in the
clause.
It's a day game today, man. I can sleep all day. We're going to the ballpark soon.
I know. I was trying. But whatever. This makes it worse. Like, I feel bad. You should have almost just canceled us. How desperate do you think the bullpen thing is? Because I know it's extras, but all of a sudden when Matt Gage goes from not pitching in a mop-up duty but into like a spot where it's meaningful, I go, okay, that's that. Like, now do it. Like, it's you got the Red Sox, you got the Rays. I said I'd like to see a trade before that series. June 29th was the date where they made a trade for Simber last year. It's June 22nd, so it would be a week from today. See, I can, you know, look at me doing the math like you on the fly.
There you go.
Like, it's just a couple of math guys chopping it up, you know, doing some math on the fly, some chopped up math. Where are you at just in terms of the level of desperation and making trades in late June for bullpen arms?
Yeah, you hate to portray it as desperation, right? And the GM on the other phone, on the other line, is going, oh, he's desperate. If you're another GM, and of course Ross Atkins is talking to people, if you're another GM, it doesn't take a genius to know that they need some help. So I think they need some help, and I think they need it now. And that's not to say that it can be easily done. Obviously, we all know Ross Atkins is trying. If they made these deals at, you know, late June, early July last year, obviously, they're prepared to do that now if they can make the right deal. So a bullpen is one of these things that, you know, it's starting to show cracks. That's obvious. I think you can fix it easier when the cracks are forming than later on. Like, once the cracks get bigger, it's tough to fix it. And they're throwing a ton of innings. So that's why Gausman going 6 last night was great, but then the game goes 12, right? So they still need 6 innings out of their bullpen, and I think they had needed 19 and a third or something, like 20 innings. I can't remember. Something more than that, actually. The starters had gone 19 and a third, so they needed like 25, 26 innings out of their bullpen the previous 5 games, and then they needed 6 more innings last night. And the guys are showing signs of wear and tear. And I think they need 2 guys, probably, to be honest with you. And you know, at least one of them has to have a plus fastball and be able to get some swing and miss and help a guy like Jimmy Garcia late in the game. So, yes, I think they need a couple of guys, and I think they need them now. I think it's the easiest thing to address, which is the good news. You know, to get a frontline starting pitcher is hard. To get a quality everyday player is hard. To get a good relief pitcher is hard, but not quite as hard. And with the Red Sox and the Rays coming in next week, I'm with you. I would love to see a couple of additions to the bullpen by then, but I have no idea if it's going to happen. I'm for sure they're trying, but can they do it? I don't know, but I am a little bit worried about the cracks in the ice getting bigger, and the Red Sox can really swing it. The Red Sox are a team you're competing against for a playoff spot. Like, let's look at the standings now and where the Blue Jays are and be realistic. The Red Sox and Rays are as important as any team that they're going to play all year. So, yeah, if they could get a boost or two for the 8 games in 7 days next week at home, I think that would be great.
I agree with everything you said. Again, a good position to take. Ross Stripling, Giolito, they're both on the mound today at 2:10 Eastern. You can listen to Dan then. Thanks for making time, man. We appreciate it.
You know what? Day game today, and I'm going to have some Chicago deep dish pizza tonight. It's going to be a sleep coma tonight for me. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
That's the best. It's just like when you – this is a sign of getting older, but it was like because I literally did this last week, like after I was sick, where I'm like, I'm going to have a night where I eat horrible food and I'm going to sleep, and it's going to be like a real sleep. What a party time it is. Like, that's you. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. You deserve it. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
See you, man. Dan Shulman, voice of the Blue Jays. Okay, so quickly, because we have to take a break, because Wake and Rake is red hot. We're getting to it. We've got to hear all of Blake's believies about how he won when really, you know, it's getting controversy, but whatever. We'll get into the controversy of Blake winning and how, you know, not really sure. Like, here's the thing about him and the bones is that the way he sucks the bones is like...
Sorry,
I know.
Ignore.
But the way that he eviscerates them, it kind of made it where I was like, he was sort of throwing bones into the pile where I was like, hold on. How many of those were... You know, like, what was the real count? Like, he separates his flats into two little pieces.
It looks like two bones.
And did he throw in, like, I'm just saying that the
math... You know,
math,
I was trying to be the referee, and I tried,
I know you were, but I think you were a crappy ref because you were so food comaed out that, like, listen, you were bad. You had your head in your hands. You're the ref. You were easy to get things past. Anyway,
I was
just
like
saying.
The ump last night at the Jays game.
Man, that umpire was bad.
And Dan Shulman, who is our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. I just saw that Twitter video of the ump. I think it was the worst one of the year in terms of umpire ratings. Awful game.
I got to tell you, though, that, okay, it was bad, and I knew it was bad. I didn't have sound last night, but umpires have been so bad for so long this season, and like we scrutinize them so much that I actually didn't think that it was. I didn't think it was a good night, but I definitely just kind of thought, "Oh, this is well within the realm of what we have seen so far this season." What we've also seen so far this season: red hot Wagon Rake hits again, 3 for 3. Our best bets for today next on the Fan Morning Show. It's the Wagon Rake presented by Unibet next.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
That's correct. It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. What I'm crazy about is the stat that Blake just gave me. Hit me with the stat, Blake Murphy.
5 of the last 8 Wake and Rakes have come through. The whole parlay.
Honestly,
you had to know to fade Sam McKee when he was filling in, but we've pretty well established on this show you don't include the guest in the parlay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's 5 of 8 with just the core 3 here.
5 of 8 of the last Wake and Rake parlays have hit. Again, no listener of this has ever hit 5 of 8 three-leg parlays in a row in their lives. That's just a fact. That's an ironclad fact. Not a single person other than us has ever done that in the history of sports betting. So congratulations to us. And to those of you that sent me the bet slips, because, yeah, there's nothing sweeter than waking up to the pictures of people's winning bets. I love seeing it. Again, I love that the people take the money back from the books. The books get enough of the money, okay? Like, Unibet's doing fine, all right? Unibet's doing better than you, all right? Like, they're doing better than you. So, yeah, another win for the Wake and Rake. Awesome. Love to hear it. A controversial win for you at Wing Sanity yesterday.
Why? Why was it?
Well, wow. See, that's
why.
Why? Well, multiple things. There's a whole bunch of things. One is that, you know, you were late arriving. We don't really know what you were doing. You weren't on time. So first of all, you cut.
I was on the radio.
No, but yeah,
on
yeah, but
our station.
But you weren't on time.
40 minutes to arrive.
You were way late, which some people would argue is like already a disqualification, right? So it's like you were playing for pride. Ailish and I were the only eligible contestants because we showed up on time.
Because I had to work.
Yep. Still late.
We came
into your needs by moving it back.
5:30 was the time. 5:30. Were you there for 5:30?
No.
Correct. Okay.
Were you on the radio at 5:30?
Did you guys eat any wings before I got there? No.
Yeah, but.
What are you accusing me of? Having gotten a snack before the wing competition?
No,
mental trickery.
I don't know what you did. It's just that a contest starts at on time. Like, you think Joey Chestnut's allowed to just show up like an hour later to the eating contest?
No, but the competitors would start the competition without Joey Chestnut. You guys lost this leg to stand on when you hadn't even looked at the menu when I showed up.
No, this is what happened.
You didn't even know the flavors yet.
I had prepped my stomach to be ready to gorge at 5:30.
You didn't even know what Buffalo Ranch meant. You were not prepared for this event.
5:40 rolls around and my stomach was not in prime condition anymore.
What is the difference between authentic Buffalo and Buffalo Ranch? You were not prepared for 5:30, for 5:40, for 6:15.
Listen, I'm not making a case for Ailish because obviously
you,
like
Blake.
You know, this is about this you're on trial here because Ailish lost, so who cares?
I already
She's
lost
irrelevant.
The trial at 6 a.m. go back and listen. This is about you now.
I'm not going back to listen.
I really admired it because she took a page out of my book, which was like she had like 32 excuses laid out, and I went, you know, I'm proud of you.
We're a page out of Blake's Wake and Rake.
You should have put that much effort into eating wings. You maybe wouldn't have gotten embarrassed.
Here's the thing. So, number two controversial thing is, the bones. Your bones were like,
weird.
How many bones
weird
were
bones.
There really? They were weird bones because you pick them so clean that we weren't sure what were drumsticks, what were flats.
you guys watched
just throwing
me
them in.
Count them.
I know, but here's the thing though. I know I didn't really watch. I was still eating. Ailish, I left it up to her, and then I realized like she was. She, like you said,
was she a
trustworthy judge? She didn't know what Buffalo Ranch meant. She was like, she thought that the NHL awards were in Las Vegas, and she's telling us like Victor Hedman flew across the country. And we're going, what? And like, we're sitting here at the awards. She was out of it. She's got her head in her hands. She wasn't counting properly. All I know is that if there was a recount on those bones, if we did the investigation, if we looked at it properly, I think there's a case to be made that I ate more in the first round, in which case I would have stopped the event right there and said, this is the end of the race. It's only about the first round. And the first round is who could do it the best. I did it the best. I think I did it the best. I ate the most wings off of Ailish's plate. The math only makes sense. I'm just saying that it's open to interpretation. Like, winning isn't...
Here's my defense. To any of this, though. I was up on Ailish by an uncountable amount of wings.
Ailish,
I was up
again,
on you by
irrelevant. Ailish, irrelevant,
I was up
irrelevant.
By
Don't
on you
bother.
By two wings and a beer, and I only stopped because you tapped out. I could have kept going. I could have padded the stats if I wanted to, but I'd already hit the over for the people betting on the show, and I'd already won the competition.
I also cruised past the over.
At that point, why am I like, they're good wings, but I'm not going to make myself sick just to win by more. Yeah. It's a W. I hit the over. I got the W. Why would I keep pushing it? I could have won by way more.
I'm just saying it's kind of like boxing, more of a W. It's not like a basketball game where like the winner is very clear. It's like it's boxing. It's like some people scored it differently, and some people might have scored more
except
for
that
me.
This like is a counting event. It's like Olympic boxing where the computer's scoring it. It's like Blake ate the most. Style points don't matter. He landed the most jabs that the little sensors picked up.
Yeah,
he wins.
The little sensors. Yeah, but that's the thing. Those sensors aren't perfect. They're not perfect. What I did say
GoPro
earlier in the
then.
Show.
But go pro if you want judges' scorecards, or go for the knockout next time.
What I did say earlier, though, was that the biggest point of intimidation was not the one that you tweeted, where it was like I looked over and saw the bone rack, because I was eating at a slower pace. There's no doubt. Like, I just, you know. But the biggest point of intimidation was when you looked me dead in the eye and said, whatever you eat, you know I'm just going to eat one more, right? And I saw that you were just – it was the most sincere thing anyone's ever said to me. Like, when my – it was the same level of sincerity when, like, my your mom tells you, like, I love you. And you're like, wow, she really means that on your birthday, you know? Like, your mom telling you I love you on your birthday and Blake Murphy telling you he's going to eat one more wing than you are the exact same level of sincerity. And, like, you believe it. I believed it into my bones. It shook me to the core. And I realized in that moment that, like, any other wing that I ate was – purely based in pride, that it was just a matter. I will say Ailish did grab one more wing and it kind of screwed up the count a little bit because I was only supposed to lose by one. She grabbed it and then Blake doubled down. So I did end up losing by a larger gap. It was a nice little impressive last shot from Ailish. But yeah.
I'm glad you said that because this entire time, if people could see Ailish on the Zoom, I've never seen her so grumpy talking about a competition where she's not in the mix.
Blake, you want to know why I'm grumpy? Yeah. It's 29 and a half degrees in my apartment, and it's 8:30 in the morning, and I honestly, I don't know if I can do it anymore. I just don't know if I can do it.
If only there were an air-conditioned studio close to your house that you could walk into to do the show.
It's honestly bothering me so much. Yeah. I'm really struggling to have any vibes bringer coordinator today, okay? So just be happy that I'm alive.
I love that you literally gave up on life there. You said, I honestly don't know if I can do it anymore.
But you know what? We can set Awake and Rake. The record high of my apartment temperature is 29 and a half, which we're already at 8:30 in the morning. So we're hitting over. But also, I don't know if this thermometer thing goes higher than that. Do you think it'll actually say 30 on there?
Thermometer. This thermostat? Like what is it?
Yeah, thermostat.
What
do you mean? The heat is getting to my head. I think I have heat stroke.
Yeah, I think you do too. I think you like to make excuses but I can see the I can really see the discomfort here. Okay, so let's move on. Again, Wake and Rake. We're nailing it. 5 of our last 8 parlays of it. That's right. Parlays have hit. 5 of the last 8. Before we get to our best bets, Toronto Blue Jays day game, old lazy Blake Murphy. He doesn't have to do any work. Like, he never works.
I'm doing the post game.
Yeah. Whatever. One show in a day? Ooh, wow. Whoa. Real hard for you. Anyways, he's doing the post game later today. I love how that's like Ailish is sensitive about the heat in her apartment, and Blake's actually working so much right now that even if you take a little joke at that, he's like, he's going to have a meltdown. He has no threshold. You're about to go on vacation, Blake. Don't worry. You're on the doorstep. Okay, so today, 2:10 Eastern time. Everybody's tired. We've seen enough baseball. We saw enough baseball yesterday to last us 2 days, but that doesn't count. So, yeah, Ross Stripling on the mound against Lucas Giolito. Ross Stripling has been pretty good this season. An ERA he's sporting of 3.28. Giolito has been disappointing for the White Sox, to say the least. This is supposed to be a guy that I think he's a free agent. And I think that he talked himself up as being an ace during the offseason or wanted to be a pseudo ace. And his ERA is creeping towards 5. The righty has 73 punchouts this year. But, yeah, the Blue Jays just saw him. How are you looking at what the Blue Jays' past performance was this a couple of weeks ago, Blake, and how you're measuring up with this one?
Yeah, it's tough because the bats have been there, right? Like, they're scoring runs. I know they got shut out by the Yankees and they got blown out in back-to-back games there, but for the most part, they've still kept scoring. The offense hasn't really been a problem. Giolito's an interesting one. I've had a couple White Sox guests on Jays Talk Plus this week, and nobody really seems capable of diagnosing exactly what's wrong. He's walking guys a little bit more, but otherwise, there's just like, it's kind of, he's very Blue Jays-ish in that every start it's something different. It's like the Gausman thing of, okay, well, today it's your splitter location. Today it's your tunneling. Today it's your tipping. Or the Brios thing where today it's fastball command. No, today your curveball's not breaking enough. Giolito, it's kind of been a moving target. So that gives you some confidence because he's struggled, but also, like, things could just snap into place and he looks like 2019 to 21 Giolito. Jays don't have a ton of sample against him. Gurriel and Springer have had solid performance in small sample. We don't know if Springer's going to play today after the elbow thing yesterday. Vlad's been okay against him. The saving thing for the Jays that you're looking at compared to a Dylan Cease yesterday is that Giolito doesn't throw as hard. And the Jays are the number one offense in baseball against pitches under 95 miles an hour. And they fall to 23rd or 22nd against 95 plus. Giolito will maybe touch 95, but he's not going to sit there. So you like their chances to work against his fastball a little bit better than Cease. And his fastball has been hit pretty hard this year.
So I like the overall Blue Jays track record against this guy, you're like, oh, there's not a large sample. I agree. But guess what? I actually put more faith into, like, sometimes we look at this stuff and we go, like, what's the person's sample against the baseball team? But as we learned with Barrios the other day, right, against the White Sox, where you go, oh, hey, some of this actually doesn't matter because there's different guys in here. What does matter is that the Blue Jays chased this guy before he could get through five innings the last time they faced him. And again, it was in Toronto, but he went 4 2/3. He gave up 8 hits and he gave up 6 runs with 2 walks and 2 bombs. Alejandro Kirk absolutely dominated this guy. And I just don't, like, he got a bunch of strikeouts against the Blue Jays, which is something where you look at it and go, okay, like, he struck him out. I don't know how to weigh that. I'll just say this. I don't know what would be discernibly different for this guy. I don't know how he's going to be able to navigate this lineup all that differently if they go with the similar look. I think that my only questions are, one, is Springer actually going to be the lineup, as you just said? Two, is Alejandro Kirk going to play? Because you'd like to think that they want his bat in here against him, but man, he's starting to rack up a bit of a workload himself. And so those two things in concert are going to make me a little hesitant, but I think that if there's a play on this one, it probably has to do with the over again. Like, Ailish has been hitting
it. That's where I'm going.
But what I just don't know how you can have a high degree of confidence in. I actually kind of like Ross Stripling today. Like, I think that I sort of like Strip. I think he'll battle for a little bit, but you need 6 innings of Ross Stripling and my guy Trent. Like, maybe 7.
The thing. If you don't get it, then who's in the bullpen that you have confidence in? Nobody, Thornton. Which means runs, which means over.
Exactly. And Ross Stripling has gone. He's faced an order the third time, 2 plate appearances. That's it. Uh-huh. They let him go 2 batters in to third time through the order this year. And that's even when he's pitching really well. He's stretched out pitch count wise. But they're probably not going to let him go a third time through the order unless he's absolutely dealing. And then you're looking at a bullpen where Romano, Meza, and Gage are almost definitely not available today. I'd be surprised if Jimmy Garcia, with 33 pitches over the last 3 days, is available. Even like Simber's been worked pretty hard. Phelps has been worked pretty hard. Thornton's been really worked. Like, this is maybe there's a roster move coming somewhere, but this is a overworked bullpen over the last 4 or 5 days.
We were very close to seeing position players pitching.
Yeah. Otto Lopez, fired up, buddy.
I just tipped it, but I'm going to do this as my wake and rake. And on Unibet, it's actually plus money for the over 9.5 runs. You could tease it down to 8.5 if you don't feel confident about it being that high, which would be -157. But I'm going to stick with it. Over 9.5 plus 100. On Unibet, they keep doing it. We just laid out why we feel even more confident about runs happening today. That's going to be my wake and rake. And it hit last night, luckily also with lots of extra innings. That helped a little bit with the over.
Well, I'll just say this, is that I don't mind it, and I think that there's a lot of reasons to like it. The only thing that scares me a little bit is, again, it's a day game, and the lineups might be a little shaky. And I think that the runs above replacement from going from George Springer to Bradley Zimmer potentially is almost enough to like when I see Bradley Zimmer in the lineup alone, it's usually a time where I go, yeah, I'm not going to play the over when I know I'm getting 3, at least 4 automatic outs. Like, he's just that guy. Although he did rip that double the other day. It was beautiful.
Great catch last night,
too. Game-saving catch last night, and then they lost. But
game-delaying catch. Yeah, he just kept us all up a little later.
I was going to say, I was just going to say we need to define it differently other than game-saving because the game
A nice catch.
honestly, it actually would have been – it's one of those things where it sucks because you go back and look at it and say, hey, it actually would have been better if you dropped that baseball.
way to tax the bullpen more, bud.
Exactly. Way to go, idiot. Like, so it's like even when he helps the team, he ends up hurting the team. All right. So, yeah, Blue Jays tonight. It's going to be a stay away for me from the value standpoint. Minus 117 on Unibet, plus 100 for the White Sox. The over is Ailish's play. I certainly don't really – there's no other prop that I like other than I probably will look at Kirk. If he does end up playing this game, I will probably take a little peek at the Kirk props after what he did and just the way that the guy continues to hit. All right, moving
also Andrew Vaughn over 1.5 total bases against the Blue Jays. It's never not going to hit. Even last night, he's like 0-for-4, and you're like, is he going to get pulled at some point for a pinch runner? It's like, no, not until he ropes a double and covers.
That strikeout he had and the look he made on his face, I was like, yeah, that's because he knows he's the best hitter in all of baseball. And that he made a mistake like that, and he was killing himself over it. Like, tough one. Swung at the splitter in the dirt. That pitch bounced. He was already so committed to it, but it actually bounced in front of him. Shocking to see. All right, Stanley Cup playoffs return tonight. We're back in action. Tampa Bay Lightning, and I'm trying to find the line. I do not have it.
Colorado Avalanche is the other team.
Yeah,
thank you. Abs are -108. Tampa's -113. So basically a coin toss.
Okay, I got it now. Yeah, total is 6. The puck line, Tampa Bay, -1.5 plays +210. So if you like Tampa tonight, given that the last two games have been pretty one-sided, that isn't too bad. Ailish, what's your – like, are you leaning any way with this series so far? Like, do you believe that Tampa is back, or do you think that what we saw was a blip?
I believe the Tampa's back, and I think that the way that the money line looks for both of these teams is kind of also how I feel. I don't have a super strong confidence that this game is going to be a Tampa game. I think that the series has more evened out. I think that they, in a perfect world, they'll win tonight, and I have that confidence that they can close this series back to 2-2 and go back to Colorado tied up, but that's really what the book is showing as well. Is like, I'm not going to bet it. I feel it, but I don't feel super confident about it. The way Vasilevsky played and the way that Darcy Kemper played, and that's the way that game ended, is a kind of a confidence feeling, but I don't see Colorado stringing together two abysmal performances in a row. So I'm kind of in the middle about it. I think Tampa wins. I don't feel strong enough to bet it. Clearly, they also feel the same way at Unibet.
Yeah, it's a coin toss game, so I really don't know how you could have an extreme degree of confidence in either of these teams tonight, given Tampa's track record, their pedigree as a team, and but also Colorado's overwhelming talent. What I will say is that Colorado has scored first in all three of these games, and I think that there's a little bit of it might be worth throwing a little sprinkle down on one of their players as a first goal scorer. And a couple of guys that I like are Val Nichushkin at plus 1300 for first goal, Cale Makar plus 1800 for that same thing. Cale Makar plus 275, I still think is the best value in terms of like anytime goal scorer. So yeah, I think that there's probably going to be a game here where we end up seeing Vasilevsky be the real Vasilevsky. But yeah, I think that given Colorado's offensive output, goal scorer props are probably the way for me to play this one. That's the way that I've been looking at it anyways. Also, like, we don't really know. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a couple first period props that you can look at Unibet, like to score first, to win the first period, how many goals to get in the first period. Just on that wavelength, if you were thinking that way. But we don't know about Braden Point. Is that where you're going to go? I mean,
no.
And also Kucherov and also Kadri.
Kucherov was
and also Burakovsky.
Kadri, I think, is just skating because he wants to stay in shape. I think it's pretty clear that Braden Point is just not going to be Braden Point in this series, and that maybe if there's like a game 7, you break him out of the glass and you give it a shot. Kucherov is the big one for me that, if you think that there's value right now, I would guess that the Colorado thing being -108 right now is pretty decent considering that that was their best player in the last game in the win. Like, they needed him. Like, he was so good. So they don't get that full version of him. I don't know if they can win. I don't think they can beat that Colorado team without him. All right. As for my best bets, there's a couple of things that I like today. as usual. I've kind of been scanning the board and going, okay, like, where am I at? What am I doing here today? I think that I'm going I kind of like the Rockies Marlins first five under. It's in Miami. Miami's been better against right-handed pitching, but Chad Kuhl has been good this season. It's Pablo Lopez on the other side. It's 3.5 runs for the first five innings. Been pretty hot with these things. I just like, again, Colorado's bats really don't impress me very much. They haven't been very solid this year. They got a lot of strikeouts in that lineup. They don't particularly do very well against right-handed pitching. They're a team that has done okay against lefties, but yeah, I'm going to ride it. I'm just going to go against Colorado. I'm going to fade Colorado. It's not in that ballpark. So yeah, I will take the first five under in the Colorado Rockies with Chad Kuhl and Pablo Lopez pitching for the Marlins.
The old Shania Twain bet. That offense doesn't impress you much.
It does not.
Unreal. I'm going similar. Seattle, Oakland under 3.5, five inning line. Oakland has been the second worst offense against right-handed pitching this year. Kirby's on the mound for Seattle. He's really solid. Seattle's hit righties better, but it's Blackburn on the other side, and he's been phenomenal. I'm a little curious, like, how much is that going to last? How long can you kind of do this smoke and mirrors stuff without missing a ton of bats? But I don't think the Mariners are the team, really. Like, that offense has cooled off significantly after the hot start. I don't like Ty France is a worry. JP Crawford's a worry, but I'm not, it's not a up and down deadly lineup. Blackburn's got a 2.26 ERA and the component ERA metrics are have him in the low threes. So I don't think this is a night that regresses. And I really don't think Oakland will have a lot of luck against Kirby. So first five inning under in that one.
And it's a pitcher friendly park. So I like that bet as well. All right. So
all three of our bets are plus money.
Nice.
And the parlay gets to plus 777, which in some casinos is a very lucky thing to see.
Might put 777 on it.
I think you might have to put
$7.77.
Just $7.
Just $7. Okay, so for today's Wake and Rake, Ailish Forfar likes the runs to continue over 9.5 in the Blue Jays-White Sox game. Again, the Blue Jays chased Lucas Giolito last time before he hit five innings, and the Blue Jays bullpen is extremely taxed. It's difficult to envision a lot of good arms coming out of there. There are two pretty decent pitchers and one very awful offense against right-handed pitching with the Colorado Rockies today in the game against Miami. Pablo Lopez is a very solid guy. I like the under first five in that one, under 3.5. And Blake Murphy, similar bet, under first five innings. Control what you know, and that is Pete Blackburn is at a very good season. It's a pitcher-friendly park, and George Kirby, he is a guy with some nasty stuff, and neither lineup is chock full of deadly bats. That's today's Wake and Rake for June 22nd.
I have breaking news. We hit the over on my thermometer thing. We're at 30. Oh. We did it.
We did it. Now we know.
We did it.
Now we know.
It's a long day ahead.
All right. Will Ailish survive the heat? We'll find
or
out
will
tomorrow.
Will she just get real cranky? Yeah.
Or
crankier.
Will she just get cranky. Yeah, crankier. Find out tomorrow on the Wake and Rake. We'll see you then. JD, Blake, and Ailish, Sports F59 of the Fan.